Hi, and welcome to the Trenchless Technology Podcast. I'm your host, Sharon Bueno, Managing Editor of Trenchless Technology Magazine. We are continuing to focus on the COVID-19 health crisis and its impact on the trenchless industry. On this episode of the podcast, we are taking a look at how this global pandemic is affecting the manufacturing industry. To help us better understand this unprecedented time in manufacturing, which received sort of a double blow with the pandemic and economic crisis, is my guest, Dennis Slater, President of the Association of Equipment Manufacturers. So welcome, Dennis, and I appreciate you taking the time to talk with me. First off, how are you and your family faring through all this?
Well, Sharon, thanks for asking. Everybody here is safe and healthy, and same with the AEM staff. Everybody that has talked to me is safe and healthy right now.
Because you said you're based in Milwaukee.
That's correct, Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
So maybe to start off, you can introduce yourself and AEM to our listeners and kind of explain what role it plays in its advocacy for equipment manufacturing.
Sure, Sharon, sure. Thanks for having us on today. So I'm the president of the Association of Equipment Manufacturers. We're a North American-based international trade group. We represent the off-road equipment manufacturers. So it's over 1,000 companies, probably 200 product lines. We're in both the agriculture and construction-related industry sectors worldwide. The scope of this is we represent this industry, 2.8 million employees with that. And these are very high-paying jobs, really good jobs for that. And about $288 billion industry or the effect on the economy with that. I think for advocacy, where we really play here is the fact that we're out there to, first of all, show the importance of this industry to the economy and how it really makes it work. Not just those 2.8 million jobs, but the fact is the machines that we produce really help build this country and also help feed the world with that. Our work with this is one thing is to really is help these companies stay competitive, have a good business environment out there, have a market for them, a foreign market for equipment, free trade is an important issue for us, how to really keep the agricultural economy strong, and then just representing the viewpoints of what's important for this industry to help it really contribute to the economy with that.
How has COVID-19 impacted AEM operations? I know when it just started unfolding here in the United States, ConExpo was getting underway. Now we're in Ohio, we're based in Ohio, and we're under lockdown. We've been under lockdown since March, and it's extended till the end of May. You're based, you said, in Milwaukee. What is the situation, and how is it impacting what you're doing?
Yeah, you know, first of all, I think for Wisconsin, we're also on lockdown until May 24th. They're starting to work on a plan called the Badger Bounce Back Plan, so we're slowly looking at how you reopen here. Okay. I think we're still a ways away from that. For AEM itself, we really are working from home. So our 100 employees that are in Milwaukee here are working from home. Our 10 employees in DC are doing the same thing. I think what's really different here is we went from ConExpo, where we're totally focused on getting the show in as the pandemic was starting. So really looking at what do we do when we return. So we come back, we all go into quarantine, and then it's how do you run this business? And our focus shifted from our 2020 priorities to really is how do you help our companies in the industry in a crisis? So really, a lot of our focus has been in the last 6-7 weeks on how do you support these people here? How do you support these companies so they stay in business? You know, how do you keep them as essential businesses is a big part of that. How do you have safe operation of their factories so they can stay in business? So that was a big part of it. In addition, remembering that they are essential businesses because they keep the infrastructure going. So that really was our first part of what we had to do when we started here.
Can you describe in the short term, the impact the coronavirus has had on North American manufacturing and maybe comparing it to what it was like prior to it?
Yeah, you know, as we were coming into, especially for your part of the industry, the trenchless industry too, you know, we were in a pretty good economy. We were out at ConExpo, and even with the pandemic coming, you just felt the upbeat mood of business was really doing well here. So we entered 2020 with the idea of a pretty good year where we were going, coming off some pretty good years before that. And what happened was you just put the pause button on all that. It's been a severe impact for manufacturing and really for all businesses. I think there's no shock there. We did a survey of our CEOs, and they came back with 91% of them basically saying this has a strong, huge negative impact here. So they are really affected by this. And the other ones that didn't say that were also impacted, but they're trying to feel their way through it. So it's had a huge short-term impact. It isn't just in the fact that you shut off their business as far as who wants to buy equipment and who can go to a dealership and buy anything, right? But it's also how do we safely operate our factories to keep going? And then it's just the uncertainty. How do you even plan for what's next? when you're not even sure when this is all going to end. So I think that became the first part of it. As we shifted to helping our members, one of the things our members did then, I think, was they looked to their product lines and said, can we provide help to this, you know, to the pandemic? Can we provide critically needed materials for this? So not only do they want to keep their factories running to provide the machines they need, but also can they help in the crisis in their communities too?
The EPA and Homeland Security and other agencies very early and very publicly designated water and wastewater work as critical infrastructure, which, as you know, involves a great many manufacturers across the country. What are your thoughts on that, and how important was that designation?
Yeah, you know, first of all, you think it's a no-brainer. The government should look at wastewater and water as being important because we've got to keep the systems running here, right?
Right.
I think in those first couple of days and even the first week or two, the biggest concern was to make sure the government understood all this, that infrastructure is part of this here. You can't keep the country going if infrastructure is not going. So we felt good about that designation, but we also wanted to really go back to the lawmakers in the White House and say, it isn't just water and wastewater infrastructure, but it's the entire infrastructure of the country. So it's everything from the roads and bridges to the ports, everything that keep us moving. And the grid, right? Especially now since we're all working remotely here. So our initial goal was to get out there and say, critical infrastructure is a big part of this equation. Don't forget about business trying to run while you're trying to keep the country going.
We've seen these manufacturing companies kind of just pivot from making their regular products and technology to making medical equipment or hand sanitizer, whatever they can to help out. What's been your reaction to them basically pitching in kind of in during this pandemic?
Well, I think it just tells you the kind of manufacturers they are. I mean, first of all, many of them are in small communities. They're a lot of times the biggest employer in these communities. So they're cornerstones of those communities. So the idea that they would sit in the sidelines because they couldn't sell equipment or because equipment sales were down, you know, that was never going to happen. The first meeting we had of our board of directors on March 25th, they told us, they were like, you know, what can we do? You know, besides you helping us, AEM, what can we as manufacturers do to help our communities to do that? And they engaged very quickly in that. And we spent a lot of time in that area of connecting our members and the manufacturers to their local communities or to the national grid on what to do there.
I know AEM has been sharing a lot of their stories on your website as well.
It's nice to see it. There are those good stories of, you know, the good that comes out of this, but it also shows you the resilience of these manufacturers to know that this is also part of their problem. It isn't just about doing business here. It's about helping the community.
We've experienced severe economic crisis over the years, but it's never really been paired with a pandemic of like this in our lifetime. I mean, we all know about the pandemic of 1918, but in our lifetime, this has never happened. How devastating is that combination to manufacturing right now?
Yeah, you know, it's one of those, last 10 years, we've talked about the Great Recession, right? Well, I guess we'll get that out of our system because we don't have to talk about that anymore. It's one here that it's much worse than I think what we've dealt with in the past. And again, that survey talked about, you know, what our members think about this. But you got a couple dynamics going on. First of all, demand has gone down. It's really hard right now to think about big purchases of equipment when you're not even sure if your business is a contractor that is going to be running right now. So that has an impact. So it's slowed down business very quickly. And then the other challenge just becomes that focus on health and safety. You know, how do we as manufacturers keep our operations going? You see what's happening in the food industry, as so many workers have done that. I think the good part of this is our manufacturers very quickly have adopted best practices. They're sharing best practices about how to keep their factories open, how to keep their offices opening. So they're operating yet. But as far as impact, you know, it is because of the uncertainty. It's not like a recession where you see the cause of a recession and move forward. This has created such uncertainty to say, well, okay, when it's over, whenever that is, you know, how do we really operate our business? You know, how do we move forward with this? You know, I think for construction sites, many are really working very well with this too right now. But there are certain aspects of that too. If you have 20% unemployment, you know, the commercial side of this business might, you know, won't be going for a while. The residential side will slow down. So you have impacts that hit you from so many different ways than the past economic crisis.
Can you talk to us a little bit about the federal legislation and the money available for manufacturing companies? And what has been AEM's role in any of that?
Yeah, besides health and safety, Sharon, I think this is an area I think we immediately jumped into. And a lot of credit goes to our D.C. office here for doing that. But immediately got in there to tell the story about this industry's importance in infrastructure and keeping the country going. So We do that advocating. You also have to go back to your members and give them guidelines on how they can get into the relief packages. So, you know, back on March 27th, Congress and the President passed the $2 trillion emergency relief package. In there is the Paycheck Protection Program, or PPP. You know, our goal then was to start guiding our members through this and how do you apply for things? How do you work with this? And it even went beyond that. It came down to a lot of state regulations too, because Ohio came down very quickly, you know, and shut things down, if you remember. And, you know, we were immediately talking to the governor's office there because several of our manufacturers said, we just want to know if we can be an essential business. You had to think about staying open as an essential business, guidelines to operate safely. But the other side of it was, how do we help them get the financial aid they need in order to keep on going? So we wanted to play on all three of those fronts, which is what we've done.
During the pandemic, you alluded to it, there's been millions of jobs lost temporarily, unfortunately, some permanently. What are you hearing about these from the manufacturing community, the state of that?
I think the manufacturers, first of all, have, you know, an obligation to their employees and to their shareholders to, you know, keep those jobs, keep the businesses going. I think what's happened here is they are really looking at how do they have less impact as possible on their employees and that too with that. So you've seen a lot of, you know, working with furloughs, you know, instead of permanent layoffs. I think everybody recognizes this market will come back. So they're adjusting hours to do things here. But yeah, I think there'll be layoffs and furloughs for the time being. But I think as business comes back, they'll bring these workers back again. You know, you have to remember in this industry, we still have, you know, a real worker shortage, you know, in qualified workers. And there's a workforce area here. So I think in the end, I think as things bounce back, these employees will be back there again. And a lot of them, too, are still keeping employees on, even if they don't have the demand right now. So I think it's been a good story with that. I think it won't be permanent. And the manufacturers recognize they want to protect that workforce. And the other side is, again, keep that workforce safe. You know, it's really important to them to keep that side of it safe as they get ready to operate again.
What do you see as the long-term repercussions of the pandemic on manufacturing?
I think it's manufacturing or even our offices or anything will do business differently. I'm tired of the word new normal now because there's nothing normal about this. I think instead it's really how do you phase yourself back into where we're going in the future. So what will happen is as we slowly ramp back up again, you'll have safe business practices. You'll have 6 foot, you know, social distancing within offices, within factories. You'll find a way to do this and you'll get it done. So that part will take place. You'll learn for even like meetings and things like that, that you'll hold more of them virtually, like we are talking now instead of being in person. I think there'll be more of that. And then as a vaccine is found, there will be that, you know, as we do that, we'll start returning to a little more normalcy. But I think always with that safety involved, I think we'll learn now that maybe the old handshake deal, maybe there's never a handshake again, right? So I think you're going to start learning that a lot of these practices that are good for your health will stay in effect. Because this will have, you know, people won't feel comfortable for a long time after this. So our job, I think, is to make sure the facilities run and you feel safe so workers can come back and not get sick again. And as a vaccine takes place, keep in mind that this isn't a one-time thing and it could come back, you know, over and over again. But I think with that, if you have a vaccine, you're doing things, you can start to operate again as a community and as a factory.
Conversely, what lessons do you see being learned during this pandemic that could and will shape the future of the manufacturing industry, kind of like a positive? You always hear about innovations coming from dark times. What do you see coming out of this?
Yeah, I think one of them, I think there'll be even a closer bond between the employees and the manufacturers and the executive offices or they work that they did this together. We got through something. Anytime you make it through a really crisis, I think you pull together as a team to do that. I think it will, one of the biggest impacts I think it will be is how can we do things differently? You know, how can we do things for less cost? You know, when you have a lot of good years, you sort of add on cost and you do things that the nice to do things. And I think now you look at it and say, we need to take less risk. We need to be more innovative in what we do. Technology will get put in here because places where you put people at risk, you'll want to replace it with the technology. So I think a lot of that will happen as we go there. We're going to accelerate some of the technology, I think, going forward with it. But that whole risk part, I think, will be something that people will be a little reluctant to go out there and take risk. I don't mean health risk. I mean risk in the business where you're really hanging out there too far with what you're doing.
Earlier this year, AEM released a list of manufacturing trends to look for in 2020. Taking a look at that now, have those trends, in your mind, changed with the onset of this global crisis, health crisis?
Yeah, I think the manufacturing trends won't change. I think the pause button's on some of it now. Well, other ones might accelerate very quickly because you're relying on it. So like cybersecurity becomes a bigger issue quickly because we're working remotely, which relies on, you know, our ability to safely talk to each other without people, you know, hopping into your Zoom meeting and things. And the data that you're circulating now is done this way too. So I think that area of cybersecurity and protecting your data, if anything, is accelerating right now with that. The idea of being able to work remotely and do things will also be there. But I think on the technology side of it, the long-term technology areas, I think we'll really move forward with. You look at things like autonomous. You look at things like wearable technology, things that we can do things quicker, smarter, especially then as you have a economic downturn here, it's going to drive us to be more innovative. You know, a person won't buy a new trencher unless that trencher and pay more for it, unless it has added features to make you more efficient. So that side of the business will be important. It's how do we really make our machines more innovative, more efficient, more cost effective? So if anything, I think the pandemic will drive that because there'll be less money in the world for a while as we move forward here.
You talked about it a little bit earlier, but AM just released the results of a survey you did with CEOs talking about the supply chain. Can you talk a little bit about what the purpose of that survey was and those results specifically?
Yeah, the survey we did, you know, regarding the CEO side of it was just to get an understanding really of how they felt business was going out there. And one of the biggest areas of concern for them was their supply chain. So while they can continue to, you know, manufacture and maybe even have demand to do that, the fact is if another country, since it's a world marketplace, if other countries out there, if you have a lockdown in Italy where a lot of components come from other parts of Europe, it's very hard to keep your, you know, your machinery running and keep your factory producing machines. I've seen in the last few weeks now, as Europe is reopening, some of that is some of the concern is going away with that. So I feel confident that although supply chain is we're worried about it right now, I do feel I think we're going to get our way through that as things reopen again. But we have to, I think they have to be ready for just stops just like that if it happens again. So a lot of the concern is how will they then do just in time and everything when supply chain could be affected. Probably will affect how you do business in the future with your supply chain with that.
Did anything surprise you about the results in the survey? Were they pretty much what you kind of were thinking?
I think what surprised me mostly was the fact that the manufacturers still, even in this kind of pandemic and with sales really stalling, that they stay positive that they can work their way through this and find a solution to where we're going. That's so there's that positive resiliency, and we will get through this and do that yet. I know you've talked to others, and I think they share that viewpoint.
Finally, what kind of things is AEM offering to its members in the manufacturing community as ways of support and information during this pandemic?
Yeah, it's funny because in engagement, you know, you think during this, they're so busy on their businesses that you might not talk to them as much. We've been talking to our members more now than ever. I think as they look for solutions to things, they're coming to us. And as we have calls about things or guidelines or daily briefings, they're engaged in this because they're all looking for how to get through this together. So if anything, we've learned is engagement is way up to do this. On the other side of it is, you know, they look for us for that support. What are the guidelines from the government for getting financial aid? How do I keep my, you know, what are the best practices to run a factory and keep it up going and keep it safe? What safety measures can be taken? So, you know, we've put out the best practices. We put out daily briefs and we have a webinar program with this and our newsletter puts this in there. And the engagement and all that's been very good. So I think really for us, we've refocused ourselves to do that. When it comes to doing business with our members too, we've worked really closely with a lot of virtual meetings. So our board met back in March 24th and 5th. And during those meetings, it was all done virtually. You had to condense it from a 6-hour meeting down to 1 or 2 hours and get very specific on it. But we've learned that we can operate the business without disruption here to help our members, even if we're working from home.
That wraps up another Trenches Technology podcast. I want to thank Dennis Slater and AEM for joining us today, giving us insight and perspective into the manufacturing side of what's going on in the world today. Until next time, everyone, stay safe and be well.
Thank you, Sharon.